B-Pod Studios.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's a lot of fun, right? You're having fun.
Dutcher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hour number two, Friday edition of the Toucher and Rich program here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. John Wallach, Joe Murray's just sitting right over there. Bert Breer is the senior NFL reporter and lead content strategist for the MMQB. He joins us now on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Bert, good morning.
Good morning, Wallach.
How are you? Everything okay?
Everything's fine.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's a lot of fun, right? You're having fun.
Dutcher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hour number two, Friday edition of the Toucher and Rich program here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. John Wallach, Joe Murray's just sitting right over there. Bert Breer is the senior NFL reporter and lead content strategist for the MMQB. He joins us now on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Bert, good morning.
Good morning, Wallach.
How are you? Everything okay?
Everything's fine. Same as yesterday and... 6 months before that.
I understand. So the big story in the National Football League, some players opted out yesterday before the deadline, but not really many of note. So now we know what teams are dealing with, or at least we thought we did. Could there be any extra opt-outs as we move along? Well, one of the complaints for the players was they wouldn't get a real chance to get in and see how things were before making up their mind. Can players still leave?
They can, but there's a very narrow set of circumstances under which they can do it. And basically, it's either they get sick or a family member gets really, really sick. And their environment, and it has to be, again, just sort of a changing circumstance in their life. And so that was something that the union was concerned with, where, you know, say... It rips through your kid's school, you know, something like that. And you have to care for a family member because of it. You know, there's certain circumstances where I think from a common sense perspective, it makes sense for everybody to let a guy opt out. But again, that pathway to opt out after this deadline is very, very narrow.
I was kind of surprised that the McCourty brothers did not opt out before the deadline. There was a lot of talk by them leading up to this, and I thought, you know, once the McCourty brothers got to Foxborough, started interacting with everyone, something in me told me they were going to follow through, and that would have been devastating for the Patriots defense. But are you surprised that the McCourty brothers decided to play this year?
Well, I think they thought about, you know, I think they thought seriously about it. And I do think, you know, some other guys opting out and, you know, especially if they're on your own team, like they were for the McCourties, open the door for everybody, you know, to just sort of think about it and contemplate it. And yeah, I think the thing that's a little different about football versus other sports, everybody's so replaceable. And I know that it sounds a little crass, but like, you know, one thing I've learned in 15 years covering the NFL is how quickly guys disappear. And I think that fear is with every football player. And so, you know, I think that for guys who were going to opt out, who are a little older, you had to have a comfort level that might be it. And it's interesting. I talked to Philip Rivers about this the other day. I said, did you consider pressing the pause button? Now, remember, guys, this is a guy who has 9 kids at home, right? Mm-hmm. And who very easily could have said, we're going to stay in Florida this year, and we'll see next year. But Bill's response when I asked him was, well, the problem for me is if I hit the pause button, that's probably it. I may not be able to get back in. And, you know, the other thing about football is once you're done playing, you're not going to get it back. I mean, it's not like basketball or baseball where you can play in a rec league when you're older. Once it's done, it's done. You know, and so I think for each of these football players, for each of these individual football players, the older ones, the idea of walking away and hitting the pause button might have been enticing, but then you consider, hey, are they going to replace me while I'm gone? Is there going to be a job waiting for me? And B, if I give it up, is this the last time I've ever played a sport that I've been a part of since I was 7 years old?
Hey, Bert, just to clear it up one more time. So players can no longer opt out. I know what happened here was there would have been a stipend where they could and it would affect the salary cap. But is there still a chance that players could opt out this year, and how would that impact the salary cap and with the teams going forward?
Well, again, the pathway for guys to opt out is so narrow. Okay. So, like, it would have to be, I mean, like, Joe, it would honestly have to be either, like, you come to, like, they find, like, some sort of existing condition during the season.
Okay.
So say you've been walking around with something you didn't know you had, and it's discovered in September, and it could be, and it's something that makes you vulnerable to the virus, then, you know, you could apply and opt out. Okay. Or there's some situation at home that either compromises, you know, you and your ability to do your job, compromises your team because of what you might be bringing to work. So there are ways to opt out post this deadline, but the pathway is very narrow.
Got it. And I didn't want to ask the same question as Wallach, as he's already staring at me. But I read an article yesterday that said.
Joe, I tried to be polite, bud.
I didn't say anything. Can we talk about the snitch line?
All right, let's do that. I'm curious about that, too. The NFL snitch line, the NBA apparently had some people actually call the snitch line down in Orlando. The NFL, I guess, is trying to put together something similar. What have you heard about this, and is it being used?
Yeah, I mean, basically, it's a way of... It's a way of policing that's going to be interesting. I mean, it's an anonymous tip line, just like the NBA, where if you've got like a 23-year-old teammate who's being a jackass, you can narc on him. I mean, like, that's the simplest way to put it. But I think it's a way of, look, I don't think they're going to get dozens and dozens of calls to this line. But I do think it's sort of a way of creating some paranoia, you know, which is what they don't want. Guys feeling like they can kind of sneak around and go to the bar on a Thursday night or go out to dinner on a Friday night. Like, they want these to be virtual bubbles. And I think that they know. And, you know, I've talked to a ton of coaches about this over the last few weeks. Like, all of these guys know that coaches can talk about until they're blue in the face and tell guys what to do and what not to do and all that different stuff. But it's going to be 100 times more effective if it's coming from a teammate. If there's peer pressure, it creates a different level of tension when a guy's making a decision like that. And so you want to create that and having your leaders be the guys who are sort of carrying out the message, right? And then on top of that, if a young guy's also thinking, oh, crap, if somebody sees me walking into this bar, they're going to dial up the tip line, then that adds another level to it.
All right, so, Bert, Tom Brady held a press conference yesterday, and the Tampa Bay media had at it, and I had a chance to watch it last night. And he hasn't changed a bit, but the Tampa Bay people are not used to dealing with him. So was it me, or did Brady just go round and round and not really say much?
Yeah, he didn't say much. I mean, he did sort of promote the TB12 brand a little bit.
I know.
Right?
That was it seemed like that was his main objective yesterday, given the platform.
Mean, I guess they have a solution for the virus. I think he is being himself. You know, I think that he is sort of saying this at home that you know, like it's very much who he's always been. You know, and it's going to be so interesting watching this going forward, because I do think in that environment there's going to be a little bit more on him to sort of be the tone setter in the organization. Like, he was in New England, but he never really had to be that because Belichick's always that, you know? And so I think if it's going to be the way Brady wants it to be, if it's going to be detail-oriented, if it's going to be a little militaristic, if it's going to be a like a very just buttoned up operation, then Brady in a lot of different ways is going to have to be the tone setter. And so, you know, I'm not surprised that he didn't veer off script, because I think he understands that a lot of this is now on him.
All right, Bert. Yesterday I was watching the NFL Network, and reports are coming out from Pittsburgh that Ben Roethlisberger looks pretty good. And last year when he hurt his arm, I figured this is it. He's a big slob. He's not going to get back in shape. Is he going to be okay? Like, is this big galoof going to come out and sling it this year? Or is he going to – could this be the end of his career?
Guys, I think what's so interesting about the spot Ben's in, like the last few years, he's needed to carry that team. That team learned to win without him last year. And so I don't think there's as much on him. You know, their running game, but you know, behind James Conner, and that offensive line's pretty good. They look like they finally have the defense fixed, and they've got some real, like real guys as cornerstone young guys like T.J. Watt and Devin Bush and Minkah Fitzpatrick. And so, like, I don't think Ben's got to walk in there and be Superman, and I think he knows that. And so, I think part of this for him, and you see, like, he looks like he's in real, and look, like, this is a guy who, a few years ago, he came into camp in, like, better shape than he had, and I asked him, I had a few minutes with him, I asked him, are you doing anything differently? And he goes, well, I mixed in about 3 minutes a day, like, there you would, so, I exactly, maybe 12 minutes with him. But I do think that he probably recognizes the opportunity here. You know, like, I think he recognizes we finally have the defense fixed. The defense has been a problem for them for 6, 7, 8 years. The running game's good. Like, I can walk into this situation, and I don't need to be great. I don't need to be as great as I once needed to be. Like if I'm just pretty good, like, we can have a shot. So, you know, I do think a part of him coming into the shape he did, and, you know, talking the way he is he knows that what's around is better.
Hey, Bert, Antonio Brown obviously has that 8-game suspension. Can you just clear up? Does he have to be with a team first, and then he'll have the 8 games, or is it start that? And where do you think he'll finally end up?
No, it starts week one. So, like, he'll be eligible to play. You know, so, like, obviously it was sort of, like, right on what a team's bye is and all that, but, you know, like, if a team doesn't have its bye before week 9, then he'd be eligible week 9. If a team has its bye before then, then it'd be week 10. But, yeah, I mean, I think there is going to be some interest out there. And the key with Brown now is that you don't have to buy high on him anymore. So, you know, like, the Raiders, they bought high on him. They paid – they gave him a big contract. The Patriots – they didn't buy low on him either. I mean, he had a $10 million deal here, you know, and so that gave him some power to sort of be who he is and operate in the way that he saw fit, not the way the team saw fit. The difference now is if he gets a job somewhere, he's going to be coming in on sort of a last chance type of deal, and that's going to give the team the hammer. And so that's why I think that there's going to be some interest there. And I know some teams are doing their background work, and I know I'm not the first to say this, but I think Seattle is probably the most likely destination. We saw how aggressive they were going and getting Jamal Adams. We know Pete Carroll's not averse to taking risks. And, you know, they've done their homework on him for over a year now. I mean, this is a team that was in it when the Raiders traded for him in early 2019. And so I think Seattle's probably the most scenario if he is to get shot somewhere.
All right, Bert, thank you very much.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
All right, Bert Breer, the MMQB. I had my fingers crossed the entire time, because I don't know if you've listened to the program. Sometimes Bert's phone tends to leave him a little bit.
Yeah.
I think there was about 8 times there that I was ready to say, Bert, can we call you back?
Yeah, he had a couple weeks of a good run, and
I know,
good today.
Winning streak's over, unfortunately, for Bert.
I apologize for asking you a double question.
Well, the question, and you can imagine the people on Twitter being very kind to
very
you.
Very nice.
Is he tweeting again? You know, substitute host fails to pay attention. I mean, it's, you know, it wasn't like the question happened like 10 or 10
like
minutes
the way
before.
You asked it, so I wanted to ask it.
I see you could improve upon the question. I understand.
And even Joe
He was just sitting there not paying attention, apparently.
Bert, I love you.
617-779-0985. We'll continue the topic of football discussion coming up after the break. We'll talk about Cam Newton and how he might coexist with Bill Belichick. That is next here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Drive home with Felger and Mass this afternoon at 2. Right now, this is how Boston sports fans start the day. Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
What appealed to you to bring Cam Newton to the team? And at this time of year, in the past couple decades, there hasn't been too much of a question as to who will play quarterback for you. How are you approaching that specific spot this year?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, that spot's the same as all the other spots on the team. You know, we got a long way to go, and, you know, we'll see how things turn out. You know, I can't control how players perform. That's up to them. We'll give everybody an opportunity and, you know, see what happens. So,
I have a hard time concentrating on what Bill Belichick is saying because funk, specifically this song and Bill Belichick, don't really seem to go together in any way, shape, or form in any universe that I know of. But there it is. It's Bill Belichick talking about Cam Newton, who at the moment is the projected starting quarterback of this team. Cam Newton, by the way, and Jared Stidham are going to meet the media at about noontime. Newton's going to go first, and Stidham's going to go right after that. So it should be very interesting. It's the first time either of these two guys will get a chance to speak to the Boston media. And there was an article earlier this week in the Boston Herald, and Kyle Love gave an interview, and Love was a starting defensive lineman here for a couple of years in 2011, 2012, and then was a backup for about 6 years in Carolina. So he knows both the Belichick side of things and specifically the Cam Newton side of things. And his opinion is that Cam Newton will not take Bill Belichick's criticism very well. And he seemed to hint in the story that Cam is a little fragile mentally. And, you know, the person who really came off looking bad in the interview he gave is head coach Ron Rivera, who apparently never talked to Newton after a bad performance for fear of, you know, ruining his quarterback psyche. But the problem for here and now is Cam Newton's a guy who has been, for lack of a better phrase, coddled his entire career, maybe his entire life. You know, he was a stud quarterback at Auburn, with overall number one draft pick. He was the starter for Carolina for a decade, and here we are. He's trying to reclimate his career, and he's coming into a situation where Bill Belichick has never been shy about criticizing his quarterback. In fact, that was one of the reasons why the Patriots' morale was so good, is that they were able to see that no one was above reproach. Tom Brady took the criticism just like everybody else. Can Cam Newton coexist, a mentally fragile quarterback, apparently, according to Kyle Love, can Cam Newton exist with Bill Belichick? Because there's going to be a period of time, especially with no preseason games, where Newton doesn't run the offense well and the team looks horrible. And then there's the Tuesday film session or the Monday morning film session where Belichick gets up there and rips his quarterback a new one for making all of these bad decisions. Can Cam Newton deal with that? And right now, based on what I see, that's a question that is very much up in the air.
So I'll never tell a 6'5", 250-pound guy he's fragile. I won't do that.
Well, Kyle Love is bigger than that, so he can afford to do it, apparently.
And listen, we've seen Cam Newton, right? The guy's been one of the better running quarterbacks in football, one of the better football players, college, pro, you name it. We've seen the MVP season, blah, blah, blah. Okay? Is it okay to call him fragile? I think it is. I mean, the guy had a meltdown after a Super Bowl loss.
He had a meltdown during the Super Bowl.
Yeah, during the Super Bowl as well. Right now, can he take hits? We don't know, but do they want him taking hits? There's been a lot of talk about him running the ball less this year. Now with Marcus Cannon out, and that was something else I read, it was somebody else local said that You know, maybe they want to sign Cordy Glenn or somebody like that because they want him to take as less hits as possible because he is fragile. So is it okay to say it about him right now? I think, yeah. We don't know what he can do. We don't know. Between a shoulder and a foot injury, I think less hits is probably the way to go with him. But mentally fragile, I think we've seen it.
Sure.
It's there.
Yeah.
But can he coexist with Belichick? I think Belichick can. We've seen him with how many great athletes? I think the conversation sometimes bothers me because Belichick doesn't bring a guy here if he doesn't think he can make him better or coexist. But is he fragile? I think right now he is.
Yeah, I wonder, maybe this whole scenario where he lost his starting job, nobody wanted to sign him except for the Patriots, really. I wonder if that's going to drive him to maybe take some of the criticism, and maybe it won't hurt him as much. I mean, that's the one thing I think that could really get him going in this team and be able to take some of the criticism that Belichick might get him. Maybe he's as humble as he can be right now.
Question is, was that part of the conversation when Newton finally had to lower his price to the point where the Patriots wanted to afford him? I mean, that had to be a conversation. Well, look, you know, I know Ron Rivera didn't talk, and Bill talking to Cam. Look, I know Ron didn't talk to you all that much, but that's not the way we do things here. You have to be prepared to really take some heat if you don't perform well. And Cam, whether it be out of desperation or whatnot, said, okay, coach, I can handle it. I have a feeling that conversation might have taken place. Although I think the two of them, not in dire straits. Cam was in such dire straits that he didn't even hear that and go, okay, coach, whatever, I'll be there Monday.
Yeah.
You know, I'm wondering what the recruiting conversation, but the free agent conversation was. The promises are going to go a long way towards figuring out how Cam Newton's going to handle all of this.
Yeah, I think it was like, hey Cam, you want to be a member of the New England Patriots? All right, great. I'll see you on Monday.
Mm-hmm. And we'll pay
you.
That's it.
So you think he's going to get blindsided by this?
I know, because everybody's telling him what's going on, and he should be ready for it. I mean, he even said in that.
Well, there's one thing to be ready for it. There's another thing to sit in that room and get embarrassed in front of, you know, 50 other guys.
Sure. My hope is that he is as humble as he can be right now, and all of this is going to drive him through it.
That's the other thing. Humble and Cam Newton have never gone together.
They can be.
Probably not, but I think here, if the team is successful and he's the quarterback, he's going to get praise.
Sure.
And, you know, he's looking ahead to his future. He wants another big contract.
Yeah, he's going to play as hard as he can, and he's just going to probably keep his head down as best he can and just try and get paid again.
I think this would be the year he's less fragile on the football field and mentally. Doesn't mean he might not be that way next year.
Right.
You see, he's walking into a situation that he's never had to go. I mean, obviously, I guess if you're a junior college quarterback, you know, and you're trying to fight your way towards that big Division I scholarship, that's one thing. Like, he went from Florida to Blinn Junior College before he landed at Auburn and won the Heisman Trophy, and that's one thing. But how long was that ago? I mean, that was over a decade ago, and, you know, people have been kissing his feet for forever up until now. So I don't know if he's fully ready to handle all of these things that come with being a Patriot. And that sounds so snobby to say, but the Patriots have won for 20 years. You're following the best quarterback in the history of the team, and right or wrong, you're going to be judged based on what that guy did. And Cam Newton is not Tom Brady. He knows that. But, I mean, how many interviews he did, that podcast he did with Odell Beckham, did that sound like a guy who was willing to be humble?
No. But listen, whose resume is better? Is it Cam Newton's or Jared Stidham's? It's Newton's. I mean, it is. That's why they have him. They don't believe. Sounds like right now they don't believe in Stidham, and that's why they went and got Cam Newton.
Yeah. I mean, they're not signing Cam Newton if they fully believe in Jared Stidham.
See, that's the thing with the Patriots. The Patriots are, you know what? It's good value. You know, we're never gonna get a guy like this for this price again. And maybe Stidham can't do it. No, you can't be 100% sure because he's really never had to. But see, I agreed with everything you said right up until there. I think that Belichick had them go get Cam Newton because he finally became affordable. Now, again, they only had however much money they had against the cap. They were less than $1 million against the cap when they signed him. But I think it's, he's a former league MVP. His great years weren't so long ago. He was good the first half of 2018 in an offense that's very similar to ours. and he's only going to cost us this much, let's go get him. We got nothing to lose.
Exactly. One last thing. Have you guys seen like these articles or people talking about, will Cam Newton be upset this year that the Patriots have all this salary cap space money and he's making what he gets?
No.
Like, but this is like an argument.
They didn't have any cap space when they signed him.
But now that they have it, like, that's where I'm wondering if he could, like, that, to me, mentally, the Patriots have $35 million in cap space, and he makes $1 million of it. And if you play well, you get $7 million. But, like, you got to play. You can't be fragile. Yeah,
be
on the football
field. Does he expect a raise now that they have the extra room?
When I see these comments, it's kind of like, geez, they only signed the guy because, A, he was available, and B, they could get him cheap. That's why he's here. And they feel like they can capitalize on it.
617-779-0985. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, a subject near and dear to Joe Murray's heart, the very thing he loves is in a massive amount of trouble. We'll explain coming up right after Mike Lockhart's headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Our only concern is your condition.
Rich. Oh, this guy's a piece of work, huh?
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
John Wallach, Joe Murray, and for Fred and Rich on a Friday. Friday edition of the Toucher and Rich program here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. And Joe, before we get into what I want to get into during this segment, it's almost unanimous. I've gotten about 25 responses on how to cure my sleep problem. I have 23 marijuana, 2 melatonin. That's it. Just, it seems that weed's the answer to just about everything. Yeah. But you already knew that.
Yeah, yeah. I did, actually. Yes.
How long has it been for you?
It's actually a year because I went to Lifshat's wedding last year, which was on the 3rd, I believe, of August.
Uh-huh.
So he's been married a year. Congrats. Yeah. And then I had a little tooth thing going on.
Right.
You can't smoke when you have a tooth.
I remember this. Yeah. It's been since then?
It's been 368
Why?
Years.
Wow.
Why the break?
There was
a time where it was a legit wake and bake situation. You walked in here happy, and we were all wondering what the hell was going on. It was a wake and bake deal.
It was like coffee for me. Now, unfortunately, I don't know. I'm like, I need a job. Okay? Like, I'm here. Do you know why I'm here? Because I don't have a job. I want to do this full time, but you know what? There happens to be an open chair. So I'm here, but I need a job. And you know what happens?
And marijuana prohibits you from getting one?
Well, sometimes you got to take a drug test for jobs.
I see.
So, like, I have clean pee. I have clean pee. If you want to hire me, I am available.
We're all very happy for you. In case you're wondering, Murray has clean
pee.
And
I'll have the advantage over someone else who's been getting high the whole entire time.
You know what? That's I hadn't thought that. That's savvy business sense by you. So, Joe, there's a problem. There's a big problem in your world, and the rest of us have kind of watched it happen from a distance over the last 5 or 6 months. Wrestling is in trouble. More specifically, the WWE is in trouble. Now that there are no fans allowed at any events, you have wrestlers staring at each other longingly in the ring. You know, there's no pop for wrestlers to work off of. You know, they all still do their intros where they, you know, slowly stroll to the ring, but there are no fans out there. There are no fans to cheer them on. Viewership has dropped. Now you have AEW on TNT that is taking some of those viewers, taking some of those wrestling fans because it's a better product. And for the first time since the WCW days of the 1990s, it seems as though wrestling is in trouble. Not a lot of eyeballs on Vince's product. Product right now. So you have complained off the air a lot about this. We have people who have a wrestling podcast, Jimmy Stewart, and Mike Sarge-Riley, the last podcast they had, the last show, Joe, I think you would agree, was a disaster last weekend. And I remember there was an emergency between the ropes podcast where Jimmy Stewart and Mike Sarge-Riley just basically yelled at each other for over an hour as to how bad the product was. So, Joe, I know this is eating you up inside. I know this has been a big problem for you. And I know that you kind of need a release. You need a place to kind of connect with your fellow wrestling fans while at the same time having this kind of event be kind of cathartic. So we're going to let you, you know, kind of let loose here in this segment of the program because we have Sean Grandy coming up. We'll talk about the Celtics, all that stuff, the Bruins. And yeah, Grandy is a huge wrestling fan, so maybe he can get something from this. So it's you, it's Mike Sarge-Riley, and it's a chance for you to vent.
In this corner, weighing in at a lot of pounds, he's just sitting there, Joe Murray. Ooh. And in this corner, he was bald, and now he's got some hair, Mike Sarge-Riley.
Fight.
All right, so wrestling, no fans, no Mania, no SummerSlam, no wrestlers at Kowloon, no belts, no new chants, no t-shirts. The Undertaker's retired. Brock Lesnar's gone. Goldberg sucks. Edge is hurt again. No Roman Reigns. WWE, on Mondays and Friday nights, you insult me with your product. They laid off so many favorites. You know, who's running the show? Is it Vince? Is it Triple H? Is it Bruce Pritchard? Is it Shane? Is it Stephanie? Who is running the damn show? Who writes this stuff? The WWE Underground this week, it was a complete joke. How about more Druids? More swamp matches? That's what we need. AEW is kicking your ass.
You want more Druids, yes, and swamp more matches? Druids. That's more, insane.
More
that's horrible.
Boner matches. We need it all. AEW kicking your ass. Look how they make your mistakes turn into stars. Moxley, Brody Lee, Cody Rhodes, Matt Cardona.
All right, all
and
right.
Where's the lady?
All right. Calm down. We're going to have to towel you off. Mike Sarge-Riley, you got to bring him up. Mike Sarge-Riley, do you have a rebuttal, sir?
If I had a camera in front of me, you should look at my face. I'm like, wow, I can't believe that just happened. Murray, you okay there, buddy?
The product sucks. It insults me.
It's pretty bad right now.
Defend it.
Really, I can't. It sucks. That last pay-per-view, the what the heck was it? The Extreme Rules there in the swamp. I mean, listen, the match started so damn bad in the swamp there at the end, but then it ended decent. But I'm sick of Hollywood, Joe. It's turned into, there's no matches here on out. It's all pre-taped stuff. We know that. The loss of a crowd is a killer, and WWE had a chance to grab an audience here, gain an audience, when they knew people were home during this pandemic, and they have not done any of that. And it's showing in the ratings. It is bad right now. If you're a fan, ride it out. Do the best you can. Try to give it the benefit of the doubt. But right now, it is at its weakest point, Joe. I got to piggyback on you, buddy.
All right. Well, now the question is, gentlemen, is this the worst product that Vince has put forth in the last 30 years? Joe.
Finish him.
Yes. This is awful. This is the worst product ever. They can't perform without fans because there's no fans in the stands. You all of a sudden can't put out a good product? You insult me. You throw out Randy Orton and Ric Flair. Insulting. Let's bury more people. Mustafa, Ricochet. Let's bury them all. All they do is bring somebody out and Seth Rollins beats them. And then Becky Lynch and Seth out. Gross.
No, like out
they
on both?
They stick it in my face. I don't want to see them. Bayley, you suck. Let's give Bayley another belt. Let's give her two belts. She sucks.
Wow.
All right. So now, Mike Sarge-Riley, your problem, I understand that you kind of feel the same way that Joe does, but you're Vince McMahon. You're running the WWE. How do you fix the product?
Round two, fight.
First of all, Becky Lynch, Joe, you got to correct yourself. She's out on a pregnancy issue. We know that right now. But if I were Vince McMahon, I would take advantage. Not a pregnancy issue. She is pregnant. That's the problem. That's why she's not on there. Here's the thing right now.
I would, I mean, you got Drew McIntyre right here, who is the current champion, and he's going up against Randy Orton at SummerSlam. Again, no crowd. You got to bring in Ric Flair, bring in the legends and so forth. Do whatever you can to bring those guys back to help garner the ratings. I think that's a good thing. But it's only going to help build McIntyre's character by beating a big guy like Randy Orton and Ric Flair in his corner. So have him hold on to that title as long as he can. And then I would also find a way to reestablish, not that it's, there's an issue with the women's division, but make it more premier like it was when Ronda Rousey was there less than a year ago, a little over a year ago now.
She's out
you
too.
Remember.
She sucks.
But no, sorry. Listen. You have to give
all right, hold on, hold on, Mike, hold on, hold on, hold on.
Well done.
Well, not really, because I didn't understand any of that. But Joe Murray, I mean, do you agree with all of these changes? Can you add any of these changes?
Yes. How about you play replays? Play 92 SummerSlam, 93 SummerSlam. Just play replays until the fans come back. Because right now, I'd rather watch that than any of the crap you're throwing out there right now.
So these you're saying no new events, no new events at all?
No, nothing. You just do all these guys. No, everyone should go home. Everyone go home and show all replays until, because we will miss it. And when it comes back, we'll be cheering. It'll be awesome. Right now, it sucks. It sucks so bad, I'd rather watch the Red Sox.
Whoa. Whoa. That, now, I understand that, and I can't believe that's true. I'd actually rather watch wrestling in its current form than the Red Sox. So I disagree. I'm out. I'm out on that there. So, Mike, are there any young stars at the WWE that can be put over and bring this sport back? Your thoughts?
You got guys in NXT. You got the champion right now in NXT. His name is Keith Lee. He could have a push. It looks like we're going to have Big E, he was part of the New Day, get a singles run here. So just change it up a little. Here's the other issue too, Wallach. This time of year, pro wrestling always takes that real big dip with the start of Monday Night Football and preseason. Now, there is no preseason football this year. We know that. But with Monday Night Football on the brink of returning, it looks like all indications football is coming back. But you also have presidential debates coming up. So they're going to take a hit in the ratings, you know, more than ever. And yes, Monday Night Raw, I think last week or the week before, was the lowest they have ever had. So if that's any indication of what it is right now, it's only going to get much more grim as we get closer to the fall.
All right.
One last thing.
Well, I'm going to let you, okay. Joe, since you're sitting here, I'm going to let you have the last word. Yes, I'm going to let you have the last word. The production value is just phenomenal, right through the roof on this segment. So I'm going to let you have the last word. Can this be rescued? Because without any preseason games, and you're not sure if football is going to finish the season, this is an opportunity to grab the audience. If you're Vince, how do you do that?
Right now, what they're trying to do is bring in Pat McAfee. That's what they're trying to do to save everything. Pat McAfee is going to have a fight at an event versus Adam Cole.
The football.
He
just kicked the guy, right?
A punter.
Yeah.
They bring in a punter to bring in ratings? Are you serious? AEW is bringing in Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson versus Chris Jericho or Pat McAfee? That's what's wrong. It's what's wrong. It's an insult to me. And we just talked about it with everything that's going to be a distraction. I want to watch all the old stuff. Give me all the old legends. I have no more new wrestling. Out on, it's like new music. Out.
Out on new music. Oh, well, that's unfortunate. All right, well, guys, I learned a lot. I think the wrestling fans learned a lot, and I got to be honest with you, I'm not feeling the love here. I'm feeling a lot of hatred. I'm feeling a lot of anger, and I think your fellow wrestling fans feel the same way. So I think you guys should see yourselves as the voice of the wrestling people for this particular segment. Well, does everyone feel better for getting it off your chest?
Yes, that
you do.
Was frustrated.
I'm sorry for yelling, Mike.
No, don't be sorry. It's a great way to start the Friday and the weekend to release some steam like that, Johnny and Joe.
All right, so it's the Between the Ropes podcast, you and James Stewart, right? How often do you record this thing?
Yeah, Inside the Ropes every weekend, and I won't be there this week, but Jimmy's going to be doing it Sunday night. We'll be back next week, though, for SummerSlam preview. We'll
ask do the best Stew we can. Edition this week.
Yes.
So you can ask Jimmy Stewart any question you want.
Oh, I can think of a few. That'd be great. All right. Mike Sarge Riley, thank you.
All right, John Wallach.
All right, be good.
I salute you.
So, yes, I'm very happy we got through that segment without a Sarge salute. I really am. I was hoping we could do it, and I think that might be the first time he's ever been on the air where that has not been mentioned. I think, personally, that's a great thing. The winning streak is at one. So, you feel better?
Yeah, sorry for all the non-wrestling fans out there.
No, you okay? Don't apologize. This is a significant portion of the audience cares about wrestling. Well, less now than they were before because the product is trash. But ultimately, I think a lot of people are feeling the same pain you are.
Sad. I think they should just 92 SummerSlam they showed the other night.
Okay.
It was great.
I got to be honest with you. They tried at the beginning of the pandemic rerunning a lot of old games, and ultimately no one was watching them after a while. I think you need new product to bring people in. I think people are going to be very upset if they have to watch reruns over and over again.
Now, didn't The Undertaker come out in the SummerSlam for the first time?
Survivor Series.
Okay.
There you have it. There you have it. Something else I didn't know. 617-779-0985. Yes?
More Lacey Evans.
More Lacey Evans?
We need the lady needs a run.
Less pregnancy issues.
Yes.
Was it a problem or an issue?
It was an issue.
It was an issue. A pregnancy issue.
One of those issues.
Just how women would describe it. Yeah.
It's a
pregnancy issue. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll kind of steer things back on the rails and talk a little basketball. Sean Graney coming up at 8:20. It's Wallach. It's Murray. It's the Toucher and Rich program for a Friday here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is the home of the Bruins, the Celtics, and these guys. Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
We'll get to the Celtics in a minute. And Sean Graney is going to join us at 8:20. Celtics play Toronto tonight. Down in the Orlando bubble, pregame 8:30, tip-off 9 o'clock here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Celtics have four games left on their schedule before the playoffs and a 2.5-game lead on Miami for the 3 seed in the Eastern Conference. But before we get to that, I want to spend maybe 2 minutes on college football. I know no one in this area cares about college football. This is one of the worst college football towns in America. But still, it may even be the worst college football town in America. But I found it funny, Joe, that, you know, Ohio State, Michigan is such a huge rivalry and the Big Ten's going to play. And Jim Harbaugh and Ryan Day went at it yesterday during the annual media, the coaches' media availability.
Yeah. Jim Harbaugh upset with Ryan Day of Ohio State for breaking rules. They found a video. They have people do their on-field instructions and stuff
sure.
like that. And there's a photo of an assistant coach doing something that's not instructed. Now, here's what I would tell Jim Harbaugh is don't lose 56-27, in a rivalry game. Don't blow a game. Win an actual big game, Jim Harbaugh. Before you start worrying about what everyone else is doing, don't worry about what they're doing. Worry about what you're doing.
I'm fascinated. You know, Jim Harbaugh, who usually stays at one place for 2 years and moves on, now all of a sudden has found himself stuck at Michigan because he didn't succeed the way he thought he would when he showed up. So now you find him bitching and moaning, not just about other things. You know, he wanted to move summer camp to Texas to showcase his program to high-level recruits in that state. And, you know, the Big Ten people are like, oh, and, you know, Harbaugh is playing the, well, you know, you're not good enough card. His program isn't good enough. And the fact that he moans and groans at a guy who is beating his ass every single year, I find fascinating.
And they got smashed by Alabama in a bowl game last year. So let's put Michigan and Alabama in a bowl game.
I love the rivalry. That's the thing.
Yeah,
I love the fact that Michigan and Ohio State hate each other.
And they're not playing the last game this year.
No, I understand that. But I mean, that's the thing. Now when they do play, there's that little extra juice that hasn't been there for a while. Michigan's going to get run over by Ohio State again. But I just find it awesome that the two sides hate each other again.
One last thing before we go to Grandy. Another truck has been starroed today.
Of course it has.
That should be like a daily thing on this program, right?
See, the best part about it is, and usually you see it right around now, usually closer to Labor Day, where the out-of-towners come in and go, oh, that's a tunnel. My truck will fit in there. And you see it happen two or three different times every Labor Day when you know, people who aren't from here try and drive Starro Drive. I things are changing this year. People, you know, a lot of schools are taking kids out of school and you're not allowed to be here for fall semester. UMass just did that, but it never fails. This month and next month, you get at least five of these.
You just got starroed.
Yeah, something along those lines. 617.
Got work on that, Mike.
779-0985. Sean Grandy coming up at 820. We'll hit on the Celtics next. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.